This is Dr. Tim, detective, to bring you, by transcription, The Mystery of the Man from Trouble Creek. It was Jill, my landlady's daughter, who first brought the case to my attention. You see, Jill and her pal Sandy have helped me out on a lot of my cases, which are usually of the sort where mystery and medicine are combined. This morning, Jill and Sandy were standing by while I was looking for some rare but dangerous microbes under the powerful microscope I have in my laboratory. I don't know how the conversation started, but I remember Jill asking suddenly,
Dr. Tim, you don't always get paid for your cases, do you?
Well, I'm not suffering from any want, if that's what you mean. I have standard fees for my crime investigations.
Well, I don't mean exactly that. I was thinking of charity work.
Well, you see, Jill, those are things that any doctor just naturally does in the course of events without any thought of reward.
But would you help out a person? Just somebody in trouble the same way?
Of course I would. Any doctor would. If you knew the number of free cases that doctors handle each year, you'd faint.
Well, this isn't exactly a medical case. Well, it sort of is, too, but...
There's something up your sleeve, isn't there?
Well, I just kind of feel sorry for her.
Oh? For whom?
Mrs. Edwards. She's a friend of Mother's, and she hasn't any money, and a family to take care of, and... Well, gee, Dr. Tim, she sure needs help bad. You see, her husband's sick. Only that isn't the worst part. He's disappeared. I thought maybe you might talk to her, and maybe you and I...
And that was the way I first learned of the strange disappearance of Arnold Edwards, the man from Trouble Creek. Later that afternoon, Sandy and Jill brought Mrs. Edwards to my office.
You see, Doctor, my husband and I live on a small rented farm at Trouble Creek. We have three tiny children, and, well, things just haven't been working out. In a money way, I mean.
Well, gosh, don't they have places where you can go and get some help?
Now, Sandy, just wait until Mrs. Edwards has finished her story.
Everything went along pretty well, until my husband started feeling bad a few months ago. He tried awful hard, but he just couldn't seem to get the farm work done.
Just what kind of illness was it?
I don't know. It's awful hard to get a doctor, and... Well, there was the money, too. He complained of feeling tired, and he lost a lot of weight, and I thought he looked like he had a fever.
Hmm. Did he cough?
I don't remember. Oh, yes, he did have a bad cold.
How long did it last?
That's the funny part. It never did seem to go away. It wasn't bad, but there was that cough that seemed to come back all the time.
Gosh, Dr. Tim, what good are all those questions? He just walked away from home and disappeared.
Well, yes, and even the police can't find him.
Now, look, you kids. Every mystery has a number of causes, and you can't know too much about the background of everybody concerned in one. If you think detective work, or medical work either, is just a matter of chasing around and getting into exciting scrapes, you'd better think again. All right, Mrs. Edwards, go on.
Well, finally, my husband did ask the county nurse where to go for help, and she told him to come to town here. That was 3 weeks ago. And I haven't heard a word from him since. Oh, Doctor, isn't there something you can do?
Well, there I was. You can't say no to an appeal like that. And besides, she was Sandy's and Jill's own case, if you want to put it that way. The first time they'd actually come to me for help. I may be a sucker, but I just can't seem to turn down people in a jam. Mrs. Edwards was staying for a couple of days right in the house as a guest of Jill's mother. So I decided to find out as much of the picture as I could. First, I called the Missing Persons Bureau of the police department.
Sure, Doctor, anything you want. You've given us enough help in your time, but I'm afraid there's nothing here on it. A usual routine investigation. Yes, we've checked the hospitals, the morgue, looked in on the missions for destitute men, Salvation Army and all that. No luck. After all, the man isn't a criminal, and there isn't very much to go on. Yes, you're welcome.
I tried a few leads of my own, including a telephone call to the county nurse. But she was away on vacation. I was sure she must have given Edwards a card or letter to some specific medical agency. And so the next thing to do was to make a thorough check of all those. On the fourth call, I found what I wanted.
Yes, Doctor, we gave him an examination. A skin test, x-rays, a thorough checkup. Yes, tuberculosis. A pretty advanced case, too. No address except the farm at Trouble Creek. No, he came back in person, and we advised him of what the matter was and what to do. He disappeared. Well, that's odd. No, I haven't the slightest idea. Yes, you're welcome.
And there we were, at a dead end again. It wasn't even any news to me to discover that the Welfare Medical Center had diagnosed Edward's disease as tuberculosis. From what his wife had said, the conclusion was obvious. A loss of weight, a wasting away process which gave the disease its original name of consumption, the fever, the cough, the tiredness, and the inability to work. All those were signs that the dread tubercle bacilli, the cause of tuberculosis, were at their deadly work inside his lungs. If the man was to live, those lungs must have rest, complete rest, to allow the healing processes of nature to do their job. That meant a hospital, specialized care, months, perhaps, of expert attention. But why had he disappeared from home? It wasn't until the day that Mrs. Edwards left to go back to Trouble Creek that things began to make sense. Sandy and Jill dropped into the laboratory, and Sandy announced proudly,
"Well, I guess we aren't so dumb."
"No, sir. You said to get background about everybody in the case, and we've got..."
Well, let me disinfect my hands. I've been analyzing some poisons. Maybe we'd better have a conference. Find yourselves a chair there."
"Okay."
"We've got everything written down in a notebook. First, I want to say we interviewed Mrs. Edwards thoroughly."
"An excellent idea."
"Okay. Arnold Edwards, 39. Farmer. Born 1909. Two brothers, one sister..."
"I guess that's just like the way you put information down about your patients, isn't it, Dr. Tim?"
"Oh, exactly."
"Went to school through the sixth grade. Then had to find work because of family..."
I must admit that after my week's rush of work and the extra task of trying to locate the missing farmer, I began to nod as Sandy and Jill in turn went through the long and irrelevant history of Mr. Edwards' life. I thought with a wry smile that I'd done my work too well when I suggested that backgrounds were important in a mystery. I hadn't the heart to cut him off. And then, coming to attention at a word or two after what seemed hours of case history, I snapped suddenly, "Hey, go back there a few words. What was that you said?"
"You mean about Mr. Edwards' matter?"
"Here it is. Mrs. Edwards, quote, 2 years ago, my husband's mother died. That was just before my youngest baby was born. She had lived with us..."
"What did she die of?"
"She had a
hemorrhage?"
"Uh-huh, of the lung."
"Now, hold on a minute. Answer this carefully. Did Mr. Edwards realize that his mother had died of tuberculosis?"
"Oh, sure. His wife said it was a very sudden thing as far as they knew
it. And the doctor talked it over with him. Gee, I thought TB took a long, long time to kill anybody."
"Not necessarily. Many times its onset and resulting death are very rapid."
"Anyway, I'm lost. Do you mean Mr. Edwards could have inherited it from his mother?"
No. Tuberculosis can't be inherited, but it can be transferred through contact. Anyone who lives with a tubercular person should have frequent x-rays and tests to determine if he has gotten the disease."
"Hey, what does all this have to do with Mr. Edwards' disappearance?"
"It gives us the reason, without a doubt."
"What's that?"
"Just this. I'm sure the doctor who attended old Mrs. Edwards informed her son of the dangers of getting the disease by association. Well, when he suspected that he, too, had it, he took the only course. He made sure by a medical examination, and then, rather than expose his family to TB any further, he did what he considered the only possible thing. He disappeared from home, probably to die somewhere alone."
"To die? But gee whiz, can't TB be cured?"
"It can. It's dropped from first to eighth place as a cause of death just in the last few years, thanks to medical science."
"Then we can save him."
"We can, and we will. If, and it's a big if we can find him. Now, go on with that background information." There were two clues to Mr. Edwards' probable whereabouts. The fact that before he became ill, he was interested in raising chickens and had hoped to experiment with breeding them to develop some new strains. The second point might or might not be important. He had been a bricklayer at one time in his life. And so, the search was on. We drew blanks on both scores. I was sure that our missing man would not be well enough for the heavy labor of laying bricks. But with the help of a picture which his wife had mailed us, we canvassed every building contractor in town. We did the same with every poultry raiser in the district. None had hired. Dejected, we had just about decided that our man had left this part of the country when a telephone call came from Mrs. Edwards at Trouble Creek.
"Doctor, I've had myself and the children. Oh, Doctor, please, please find it for me.
By this time, both the kids and I were frantic. I'd spent so much time on the case that my regular work was growing into a mountain of back-breaking labor. And the farther away from a solution the matter looked, the more determined I was that I was going to save a stubborn human being from the death that would surely come unless I could find him and persuade him to enter a hospital for treatment. The doggone fool, I thought. Doesn't he know there are special hospitals right here in the state for TB patients who can't afford to pay? It had been over a week since our search had started. Was it possible that it was such a short time? Wearily, I threw myself onto a chair and tried to think. Sandy and Jill knocked quietly at my door. Come in.
Nothing new, I guess, huh?
No.
Gosh, we feel kind of like heels not helping any. I guess there isn't anything else to do.
I'm afraid not, kids.
We thought maybe we'd go see the state fair. Tonight's the last night, and I sure hate to miss all the roping and the rodeo and the exhibits and everything.
Yeah, it's really going to be a Lulu. Want to come along?
Oh, I'm afraid I'm too tired, kids. You go on.
You wouldn't have to do much of anything. If you don't want to watch the show, you could just wander through the exhibits and think. Hardly anybody's there when the show's going on in the arena.
Well, sure. They have lots of interesting things. Rabbits and funny-looking ears of corn. And the craziest bunch of birds and chickens you ever saw. Why, some of them have feathers clear down to the ground and colored topknots, and they don't even look like chickens, lots of them, and...
Chickens! Good gosh, do you suppose...
Don't even stop to talk. Get me my hat and coat, and let's get in that car, but fast. It's our last chance. Later, I walked quietly up and down the aisles of the almost deserted poultry exhibit of the fair. My heart was beating fast. I glanced from time to time at the picture in my hand. One false alarm. Two. Three. And then?
You look lost, mister. Is something I can do for you? I work here, and if there's
anything...
Yes,
there is. I have a message from your wife, Mr. Edwards. Now, I don't want you to say a word. I want to talk to you about finding a hospital that will cure you. All those lungs need is a rest. Simple surgery, if needed, can do much to make you a new man. Your family have been examined and haven't taken the disease. Your wife is heartbroken. And your kids are crying for you. So how about it, fella? Shall we talk? This is Dr. Kim Detective saying so long until next week at this same time, when Sandy, Jill, and I will dip into my casebook for the exciting transcribed story I call The Mystery of the Second Alarm.